Welcome to Partnering with Parents, brought to you by the Classical Academies. Join us every other Tuesday as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
Well, I'm Cameron Curry, the CEO for the Classical Academies, and I'm thrilled to be having another podcast. And today we're going to meet this year's Jumpstart keynote speaker. Her name is Colleen Carroll Campbell, and we're going to spend a few minutes together today just detailing her upcoming conversation she's going to be having with the Classical Academy. So welcome to the program, Colleen.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Colleen, for those of you who may not be familiar with you, can you give us your bio? Who are you?
One thing relevant to this, I'm a homeschooling mom, but
I'm
an author and journalist. I got my start in newspaper journalism and moved on to TV and radio as well. I've hosted my own TV and radio shows and did some presidential speech writing at one point, and I have written three books. The latest book came out a little over a year and a half ago, I guess, or maybe almost two, The Heart of Perfection, and just done a lot of things in the media and communication realm, and really excited to be joining you.
I love that, and it sounds like you're an underachiever. Hardly anything going on, and you're homeschooling on top of that. That's just great. So how long have you been homeschooling, and how did you get started on that journey?
Right. Well, I've been doing it, I guess it will be, I think, 7 years now, or eight. Actually, I'm heading into my eighth.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I have four kids, ages 11 down to seven, and I started with my oldest two. They're twins. We're supposed to head into kindergarten. It was time to kind of send them off all day, and I had just taken leave from a TV news show that I had launched out in Washington, D.C., and it had just been a busy year. I wanted to spend more time with the kids. I had a newborn at home, and I just thought, you know, how badly can I screw up kindergarten? So... And I just really fell in love, my husband and I both did, with the freedom of homeschooling, with our ability to really track our kids and what they're learning, to influence them, and to have that extra freedom, family time, and to really have that parental involvement. That's just so key, no matter which way you're doing homeschooling or whether you're doing hybrid or whatever. I just think it's so important that parents take a leading role in their children's education. And I just wasn't willing to give that role up when they turned five. And so I'm really glad I didn't. It's been a profound blessing for our family.
That's just great. And I know this pandemic, with the shift just across, you know, public education in general, there were so many families who had never thought about, explored, or even thought to themselves, gosh, let's homeschool our children. How many people had really jumped into the pond this year? And I know for the Classical Academies, we are serving so many more new families who never thought they would do this. And now, as they look forward to next year, they're excited about the support we've given, and they want to continue on this journey. So that's exciting to empower families and and partner with them. And I love the fact that you said, how hard can this be? I can't screw this up that much, I don't think. And and then you've been successful. So that's awesome.
Oh, it's been a real joy. And I'm sure, as many of your new families have discovered, you know, there's kind of an image you have in your head of what it looks like to homeschool, what it looks to be a homeschooling parent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get into it and you discover there are a lot of different ways you can do this. And there are a lot of different types of people drawn to this. That's precisely, I think, the strength that it has, is you know your child and you know what works for your family. And it's just great to see parents getting more involved in their children's education. And I think that's one of the sort of silver linings of COVID, I suppose you could say.
Mm-hmm. And I'll bet you've discovered through this process how each child is so different in their learning style or their learning needs, and how you're able to really, you know, cater to those individually to your children to help that create that success for them.
That's right. And I think too often we do have a bit of a one-size-fits-all educational approach in this country, and it's done a disservice to many kids. Sometimes the kids who are excelling and they need more room to excel and be challenged, sometimes the kids who are falling behind and they need a little extra support, and we can really offer that through homeschooling. And it's wonderful to have a community. You can't do it alone. And that's so important, whether, you know, that takes a lot of different forms. Certainly, it sounds like what you're doing with Classical Academies is very much about giving parents that support and coming up alongside them, because whether you're a veteran or you're a newbie, you always need that support. So I think that's really a crucial piece.
So as this year's keynote speaker, what are you hoping to address with our parents at Jumpstart?
Well, the topic of my talk is Focused and Free, Raising Attentive Kids in the Age of Distraction. Mm. And I really want to look at some of what we've discovered. We had a lot of parents and just folks all across the board talking during lockdown about, you know, obviously very trying, very sad and difficult times in our country in many ways across the world. But there were some silver linings that we've mentioned. One of them, and another, I think, for a lot of families, at least the ones I know, has been the slower pace of life, the sense of actually focusing on each other, not running so crazy, chasing their tails with all the millions of activities, and just a sense of, wow, is there something about that that we want to preserve as we move back into quote-unquote normal life? And so I want to look at that in tandem with what we're seeing statistically of a lot of studies coming out showing that kids are really struggling today with distraction, with electronic diversion, specifically tech distraction. We're living in this attention-driven economy, right? That's kind of what we're buying and selling these days, is people's attention. And our kids are the targets of that. You know, their attention's really being harvested, and sometimes their inner lives as well. And there's a sense of kind of losing touch with the real, losing touch with each other, losing family time and focus. And between the scattered activities, but especially a lot of the tech dependence of all the distractions, it can really be hard to find the joy in homeschooling and in family life when we kind of let that take over. And I think it's very easy to do in this culture. So I want to bring in some of those studies. There's been a lot of wisdom down through the ages on this. This is not a new problem. Technology's kind of takeover of our family life may be new, but the general idea of being distracted from what you wanted to focus on,
right,
and needing to teach kids the discipline of attention. It's not something you just sort of know how to do. You need to, you know, help them form that discipline, not just for their studies, but for their joy in life, that they can go out into life and focus on what they want to focus on and not just be kind of victims of whatever the consumer culture tells them they need to focus on. So looking at that wisdom and sharing from my own experiences as a homeschool mom, as someone who's given a lot of thought and devoted a lot of time to this question of what should be the role of technology in my children's lives, and how many activities should we do? How do we balance that desire for our children to achieve excellence with that desire that they enjoy at their childhood, that they don't miss the wonder and the joys of simply learning in the real world and embracing it and not always doing everything for the next grade or for the next distraction. So that's really what I want to focus on, and specifically how we can raise children who are focused and free in a culture that's not necessarily helping us do that and sometimes actively thwarting us.
What was flashing in my head as you were talking about this distraction, and then also, you know, the delayed gratification that so many children don't have anymore. It's immediate. It's now. I want it now, and it happens now. And then I also think about, I just remember being a child of the 70s and how the cereal commercials and some of the food vendors, they actually had to pass new legislation because they were using that time to sell stuff to kids.
Well,
and then now, really, with technology and social media and everything, they're selling to our children all the time on maybe things that we don't have a problem with, and then other things that are actually counterintuitive to some of the things that we value as parents, as families. And I think your topic is incredibly relevant for right now.
Thank you. Yes, they're swimming in a sea that many of us never had to navigate when we were their age. And this is really a vast social experiment. We've never seen a generation raised on screens. We don't actually know how this thing's going to turn out. So I think we need to be, you know, this isn't about being a Luddite, hating technology, rejecting everything. But I think we need to be a little more intentional and a little more aware and a little more willing to step out into the culture and say, no, here's the line for my kid. And you
right.
can't cross into this space, or, you know, setting those boundaries, even when it's going to make us the bad guy at first, but kind of helping our children along to see that the joy and the wonder and the great things that can come in life when you learn to turn off some of the distractions and really focus on something you love. And obviously the joy of learning, very difficult to compete with a million screens. And I think there's a lot there, and there's a lot that we can do as parents. And I think too often we throw up our hands and say, well, what are you going to do? That's how it is. But we have, just as we have influence over our kids, especially when we're doing homeschooling in whatever form we're doing it, we can have that same influence with their relationship with technology and their overall focus in life. And I think we just need to kind of remind ourselves that we have that influence, we have that power, and we want to exercise it for their good.
Remind me the age of your children again.
I have 11 down to 7, so I haven't quite hit the teen years yet.
Okay. So with your 11-year-old, have you and your husband talked about when do they get a phone? When do they get access to technology? Maybe that's already happened. I don't know. Let's talk about that.
No, it hasn't. No, okay. I have 11-year-old twins. You know, it's funny. My daughter said to me the other day after a play date, she said, you know, Mom, all the girls are just sitting around looking at their phones, and I want to play soccer, and I want to climb trees, and they're just staring at their phones. Don't ever get me a phone.
Love that. Write that down and present that to her. Exactly.
So, you know, I know it varies by family, by what you need to do. Sometimes you need to keep in touch. But we've been quite conservative on that. And we've seen a real difference in that our kids still love to play. They still love to go outdoors. They still do imaginative play.
A lot
of their friends do, too. But frankly, we've seen that some of their friends get into the technology, then the less cool it is to climb trees and play soccer and run and go to the beach and just be with each other. So I do think there's a cost to that. And so we pay a lot of attention to that. And we do err on the more, I guess you would say, restrictive side, although our kids aren't asking for it, partly because I think they're looking around and seeing a lot of glazed eyes and they don't.
Right.
So, again, I know families are different, situations are different, but I think in every family, no matter what your situation, there are limits and boundaries you can set. I don't think this has to be a free-for-all, and I think our kids will thank us for it someday.
Absolutely. And the other thing, too, is it's one thing for the kids to be present here, let alone being on a piece of technology and trying to be present somewhere else while they're with friends. It's just it's not good. It's not healthy.
It's not good. And studies show it actually increases their anxiety, their boredom, and their dissatisfaction. Studies show in adults it raises levels of depression. So it's not good for us as human beings to sort of multitask our attention all the time. And, you know, studies are showing these soaring rates of anxiety and depression in young people, and we really need to take a hard look at what can we do. Sometimes the little changes make a huge difference. And again, I think it's just having the discipline to do that. And then we got to live it ourselves, and it's struggle for all of us. You know, I got my phone there. Quicker to, more interesting to check a headline than to stop and focus in the eye on my kid while he tells me a story I've already heard, you know?
Right.
Wow, it pays dividends, you know? And so I'm not saying I got it all figured out, but I do think the more that we together as parents think through this, look at what's out there in terms of what we're starting to see with studies, look at the more ancient wisdom on these questions and really say, you know, I care about my kids so much that I'm not just going to throw them out into this culture with no help to navigate something that no generation has ever had to really navigate before. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be a parent. And I think that's our calling. And I think it's a great joy when we embrace it.
Very true. Well, we've talked about your keynote speech. What are you going to be doing in your breakout session?
Well, my breakout session topic is called No Perfect Parents, Identifying Your Perfectionist Tendencies Before You Teach Them to Your Kids. So this one comes from experience as well. my latest book is called The Heart of Perfection, and it's a very personal book in some ways, although it does lean on a lot of other wisdom from others as well.
Sure.
But the essence of it is just how I discovered, at least in my homeschool journey, that it really brought out some of my perfectionism. I had to recognize when I became a mom how I did have these tendencies. I don't color code my socks, and I don't alphabetize my CDs, and I don't hand sew Halloween costumes. So I thought I wasn't a perfectionist. But it turns out I was. And it turns out a lot of it can come out in parenting. And perfectionism runs in families. All the studies show that. So I think it's become a more pressing question as we look out into the culture. We're seeing by the college years, this thing has become really toxic for young adults.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're seeing rising levels of eating disorders, anxiety, depression, even campus suicides traced back to perfectionism. Researchers are really making a strong link there. So the question is, how can we recognize what patterns may be going on in our own lives and even the way we talk to ourselves that our kids are picking up from us? Because, of course, when we're homeschooling, we're going to have an even stronger influence over our kids. And that's a good thing. But it's also challenging because then any issues we need to deal with, we got to deal with before we want to pass that on to our kids. The good thing about homeschooling is while it can bring out some of these tendencies toward, you know, control, comparison, impossible expectations, all these manifestations of perfectionism, it can also be an opportunity for us to begin that kind of recovery from that right in front of our kids and model for them what it looks like to learn from our mistakes, to admit our failures and accept our weakness, to cut ourselves some slack when we need to, because the most important thing we see with parents and kids and perfectionism is if the kid hears the parent say, oh, don't be so hard on yourself, but yet the parent is driving himself or herself according to, you know, impossible expectations. That's what the kid will imitate, right?
Actions,
you know,
speak louder than words.
Exactly. So this is an area where I think a lot of parents recognize they don't want their kids to become these anxiety addled college students who are just, you know, they need to, they're dealing with tons of depression and difficulties, all because they're beating themselves up because they can't be perfect at everything they do. But at the same time, we need to look at ourselves and see how sometimes our parenting can inadvertently send those messages that can reinforce the very things we don't want to. So, you know, again, there's a lot of hope. That's where we can work on that. We can recognize it in ourselves. And then how can we model for our kids something healthier? So especially, you know, as they move into the high school years and especially the college years, they're prepared. They're ready to learn from their mistakes, to be resilient, and to cut themselves and others some slack in a world that really, for all of its you know, slogans about, you know, you do you, it's a pretty perfectionist culture we live in, and there are a lot of impossible standards, and we can still have excellent kids who, you know, make the most of their talents. This isn't about raising slackers. It's about raising resilient, joyful kids who know what's important in life and know that they don't have to be perfect to belong.
Well, and back to the whole social media piece, when we as parents, as professionals, as whatever, we're watching that social media, and we have to always remember, moms and dads are just elevating the best. They're not necessarily going through and featuring, guess what, Johnny threw up on the floor today, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and that just perpetuates that whole false perfectionism that your house has to look like this to be successful homeschooling your children.
That's right.
Well, this past year with COVID has been so challenging on so many fronts. I think we all can agree on that. And there's also been so many benefits. So what were some of your biggest challenges or maybe even your biggest rewards this last year?
Well, with COVID, we slowed down a lot. I was running to too many activities, I would say, before.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I was kind of, I always say I'm not going to, but all of a sudden I was in a pattern where it was this on Monday, this on Tuesday. And when all of that shut down, I learned it was a lot easier to teach when I wasn't constantly rushing the kids so we could get to the next activity. Mm-hmm. So that really, I have been very slow to sign them up for things now. I've been a little more judicious. They still do activities, and of course they still see friends, but I've been a little more selective.
Love that. Well, Colleen, as we're getting ready to wrap up our time together, what are you hoping that parents are going to take away from attending the Jumpstart Parent Conference this year?
Well, I hope that they will feel inspired, I guess, is the number one
thing.
I think that's so important as you're beginning your school year, to feel pumped up, because, you know, it is challenging and it helps when you go in excited. I hope they'll get a glimpse of the big picture in terms of where we're headed and what the rewards are. And then specifically with this distraction topic, just maybe a greater level of awareness, sort of opening our eyes a bit. I mean, just kind of looking again at things that we've started to get used to and saying, wait a minute, is that what's best for my kid? Is that where I want to go? And kind of getting a sense of reclaiming their own attentional freedom and that of their children, a sense that, yeah, I do have some control over this. I do have some say in not only what I pay attention to, but what my kid pays attention to, and sort of fighting for their child's childhood. You know, mm-hmm. Because so much of the culture is just telling us, give it up, we're in control, you just step back, you're just the parent. And really, in the same way, I mean, it takes a lot of courage to step out and enter a program like Classical Academies and say, I'm going to take a leading role in my child's education. I think this is exactly the group of parents who can be real leaders on this question of our children's schedules and their technology use, and just saying, you know what, I'm going to take an active role too, informing my children's concentration abilities and helping them learn to wonder again at the real world, and in helping them focus on what really matters, even if that means I have to set limits and boundaries over what they can't focus on all the time, what mm-hmm. they can't be constantly looking at. So I think probably the main thing that I'm hoping for parents who come to this conference is not only to leave inspired, but informed and empowered, so that they can really embrace the influence that we naturally have, but too often forget we have, because we are really the number one influence on our children's lives, their education. We can be, if we're in programs like this, if we're homeschooling, their morals, what they believe is right and wrong, their view of the world, what they value and what they take seriously. That's our role, and no one can take it from us unless we hand it over, and we don't have to.
Right.
That's not what's best for our kids, and it's not going to keep our families together. And I think our families, you see the families that have really embraced that, that sense that, no, we're a family and our values matter and what we want to teach our kids matters. We don't have to just follow the crowd. Those are usually the families, it seems to me, that are really joyful and close even decades on.
I love that. Well, Colleen Carroll Campbell, I am looking forward to your Jumpstart presentation, and I know it's going to be a great encouragement to our families and also our community. So thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm looking forward to it.
Partnering with Parents is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. Suggest a future episode or advertise with us by visiting classicalacademy.com/podcast. Consider subscribing to our channel, leaving us a review, and supporting our Patreon page. Thanks for listening.